All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, we don't get on the air without the Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting sponsors. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys, they'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, 18-wheeler, you name it. The Daspit Law Firm has you covered. It'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. And get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Fox analyst, former U.S. international. You will see him on the Women's World Cup in France this summer with Fox. He's Alexi Lalas. He joins us now. Alexi, did you ever need a personal injury attorney?
I have yet to need one for any of the things that you mentioned. However, if I am ever in need, and certainly in your neck of the woods, I know exactly who I'm going to now. So they can be your best friend at your worst time.
I had a feeling you might have been a mosh pit at some point or something, or you know. We all need one. All right, let's get to the first. I got to just tee up here, just basically to get some thoughts on what was an iconic and epic, and what will go down in history and lore as a legendary Liverpool and Champions League match here today, the 4-0 win over Barcelona to advance to the final.
Yeah, I mean, it is an amazing world we live in terms of the amount of soccer that we're able to see as American soccer fans, the quality of soccer, and then the reason why we watch it and why we sit through games that maybe aren't so good. And it's because you want moments like you saw today. And I don't think that there was anybody out there other than Liverpool fans who were just picking Liverpool because that's what they have to pick, that thought this was going to happen. And yet the soccer gods, they work in strange and mysterious ways. And it was wonderful. It was, like you said, one for the history books. I think people will be talking about it for a long time. I certainly think you can make an argument it's the greatest game at Anfield when it comes to European nights. And given the circumstances and given what the final score was, it was something improbable. But as we have seen, not just in soccer, but in sports in general, anything can happen. And so it was wonderful to see. Congratulations. I also think it highlights just how good Jurgen Klopp is. Because that first leg against Barcelona, he didn't abandon the philosophy of who they are. And they got pegged 3 goals. But they played well, they created opportunities, and he just went right back to the well for the second game and said, look, this is who we are. This is our identity, if you want to call it that. And it paid off in the end. And like I said, the soccer gods smiled on him. And it was a wonderful moment in soccer, regardless whether you like Liverpool, whether you like Barcelona, whether you like Messi, whether you like anybody. It was just a wonderful soccer match and amazing magic stuff.
Yeah, and listen, Jurgen Klopp, obviously, I don't think there's any question. When you watch this guy, it's like you want to play for this guy. He just seems to say and do the right thing almost all the time.
Yeah, and it's not just all lip service. It's not all rah-rah. You know, sometimes you get coaches and they scream and yell or they're much more about theatrics. You get a feeling that everything that he does is with a purpose, and it's calculated, but it's genuine. And as you said, I think he is the ultimate player's coach, and you want to not just play for him, but you want to run through a wall for him. And even at times where you might not totally be on board, because you trust him, and I think that's a really important word, you trust him, he makes individually you better as a better player, and collectively, even though you might not individually be the best group of players, as a group under that coach, he just seems to find ways to make them that much better and to believe and do things that they didn't believe that they could do, and certainly from an outside perspective, many of us didn't believe they could do.
Yeah, I guess from the outside perspective, as you mentioned, and we're talking to Alexi Lalas, Fox analyst, former U.S. international, my biggest litmus test or eye test is, are players playing for the manager? And there's no question, this guy gets this team playing for him game in and game out, and even if it's they're not their best day, because they're playing for him and with a purpose and for each other, they still get results.
It's something to behold, and he's done it now multiple places in creating something, and I think he's got a really interesting thing on his hands with this Liverpool situation, and I think regardless of what happens, he's going to go down as a legend, you know, even without the actual trophies. I know that's important, but he has gotten to this point almost it's not Pep. It's different than Pep, but it's the same type of awe that comes with him in that this is what he believes, this is what he is going to do, and he gets his team to do it. And you don't see a lot of those. You see a lot of pragmatists that ultimately just find a way in that moment to get the job done, but you don't see a lot of, I think he's a romantic, and I just think he's a romantic, and we have very few of those in the game. As I said, I think Pep is one of them, but I do think that Jurgen Klopp, and it's amazing that we're living in a time where they're both in the same league, and they're both going back and forth when it comes to the EPL title, potentially. And I did ask the question after this game, if you're a Liverpool supporter and you could only have one, would you rather have Champions League this year or the Premier League title this year? Because I know how important that title is. And to be quite honest, I think the long-suffering and the longer-suffering Liverpool fans would say that the Premier League title is more important as opposed to that more global and international cosmopolitan group that certainly supports Liverpool as a global brand. They would probably say Champions League.
Yeah, that is a good question. I would leave that to the Liverpool fans to answer. But I do love your way of saying using the word romantic, because I think in the high-powered world and big-dollared world of football and sports globally, these are the moments that we really love to latch onto. And as you said, you know, I think we're conditioned because we've seen so much unbelievable talent and coaches and games with Liverpool and City consistently, and Barcelona, and you know that it's easy to almost think this is commonplace and every day, and it isn't. We're not living in reality. He as an inspirational leader, though, that's what I like. Is he a Jedi Master, an Oracle, a Mensch? What would you call him?
I would first off, I think he understands not just the mentality of the player, but I think it more importantly the mentality of the player in the moment. There, because look, he was a former player, and the best coaches, I think, are able to recognize that just because it worked when they were playing, or just because it worked when they first started out as a coach, doesn't necessarily mean that it works now. And you have to be able to evolve and adjust with the times. I mean, the soccer players today are very, very different in the way that they think about themselves, the way they think about the game, the way they go about their business on and off the field than when I was coming up. And you have to accept that and appreciate that and evolve so you can understand how are you going to motivate a very different type of personality and character than maybe you were used to as a player or when you first started out coaching. I think that everyone talks about Manchester United and Sir Alex and what he did. One of his greatest feats, I think, Sir Alex, was while he had a defined belief system, I think he had a wonderful capacity to change and to evolve and to adapt with the times, which is why he knew exactly when to cut bait with players, but he also knew how to motivate players in a time and an age that he wasn't necessarily from. And I think that's not always easy.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And I think we've seen a lot of managers potentially go by the wayside. We've certainly seen it in MLS with the evolution of MLS, no question. And I think we've seen it in the Premier League and in Europe as well, no doubt about it. Okay, we can't just talk about Liverpool. We do have to talk about Barcelona. They obviously were overpowered by will and desire and a fan base and all of this. But Roma did the same thing against them last year in the Champions League after they had a huge lead. What does this say for the manager, Ernesto Valverde? And is this something that, you know, is this potentially something that's systemic? Did they just miss that little bit that they didn't have, that they don't have now that they once did under Pep?
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think, you know, look, you win the league, but the league's the league. It's really when we're talking about these super clubs, what we're judging them is judging them against another, let's say, to be generous, another 10 teams out there. And so that falls to the Champions League right now. It was interesting because I was talking to my friend David Mossy on our podcast, The State of the Union, which you can certainly download. But he made a point the other day, and I thought it was really interesting, that this is the least Barcelona that we have seen Barcelona, in that we have been told for many, many years now that Barcelona is más que un club. It's more than a club. It's about a philosophy of the way that they play. They transcended the sport. They transformed the sport in the way that they played when they started with Pep, and that translated into something that was an identity, that was a style of play that was going to last. It was fostered at a young age and then matriculated through the system and all that. And the reality is, I think what his point was, that maybe it's just much more, especially now that Iniesta and Xavi are there, that it was really about the individuals that they had as opposed to the actual style of play. And you couldn't replicate that style of play without those individuals. And then the question is, well, and this is getting a little, you know, big picture and esoteric and everything, well, is it really a style of play if it doesn't translate to multiple groups and you can't foster it with a younger group? And if really the only style was get it to Messi and let him do his thing, is that even a style in and of itself? Now, look, this is a wonderful team still. Messi still is arguably the greatest player ever to play the game, and we're still going to watch. But I do think some of that luster that has propped up Barcelona, not just Barcelona as a winning team, but Barcelona in a winning team in a specific way, I think that it's lost a little bit of that luster now with the way that they have gone out, especially the last couple of years.
State of the Union podcast with Alexi Lalas. You can download it on Fox. I've done that. You talked about pragmatic. I want to take this over to something I thought that was awesome that I saw. So I saw this rant from a Dutch coach in a video, and this was, mind you, after he had won 4-0 against an opponent. And I had to get it translated by a Dutch buddy of mine. But basically, they ask him after the game, after he's won 4-0, he doesn't want to talk about the win. All he wants to do is rake over the coals, the opposing coach, for playing negative soccer, ugly soccer. So I thought it was hilarious, but I also loved it because that's the Dutch way. It's as much about how you play the game as it is the results. Do we ever get to a point where in MLS we're going to say, hey, DC United, you sat back, you know, for an entire game on the road? Why should we appreciate that?
Well, first off, you're already imposing your individual and subjective view on what the beautiful game is. And so while the majority may agree with you that possession and attack and not sitting back is the way, quote unquote, the way the game should be played, that's a subjective type of view on the game. We all have our different opinions as to what beautiful soccer is. And one of the interesting things about being in the United States, Glenn, you've been here as long as I have, and you've seen it evolve, is that we have all of this incredible diversity that provides incredible diversity and difference in thought as to what the game is when it is played in a beautiful way. There's no common and collective type of agreement as to this is beautiful soccer. And so that coach in that moment was angry at somebody else for not playing the way that he felt the game should be played. But that doesn't mean that that's the way the game should be played, and it also doesn't mean that that's the beautiful game. To him, it's the beautiful game. So what I'm saying, look, I can appreciate and love and find beauty in an incredibly defensive performance. I can appreciate and love and find beauty in a long ball. I can appreciate and love and find beauty in a counterattack or a direct style of play. So it's all in the eye of the beholder right now, and I do think that there is a little bit of elitism and sanctimony. And it's not just internationally. It happens over here, too. Some people, are talking about, they're not playing the game the way the game should be played. Well, you know, your way it should be played may be different than how I think it should be played. And so it is a fun conversation to have, and it's very interesting to see the different ways of that people think about how the game should be played. But to finish it up and to answer your question, I still think it's going to take a long time before there is a collective understanding and, more importantly, a collective agreement as to how we want to play. And that's our biggest challenge, to be quite honest, is getting 11 players, from a national team perspective, 11 players that represent this incredible, diverse United States that we live in my estimation, the greatest country in the world, to be on the same page as to how this is how we're going to play. And I know we've talked about this before, and it's a much longer topic, and we could go on forever about it.
No, that is 100% a fair point, and it is subjective, no question. So with that in mind, I ask you, what don't you like about, or what's a style of play that you don't like? And don't tell me you like them all.
No, I don't know. I like a much more direct style of play. I like, I'll be honest with you, I get bored with, I guess we call it nowadays, ticky-tacky type of stuff. It bores me.
Side to side.
I understand the reason for doing it. I understand the patience that it takes, but you can't force me to have that type of patience. And you can call me names and say, oh, it's above you, and you can't understand really the nuances and the layers and all that kind of stuff. No, that's not necessarily what I want to see. And so I like a much more direct, a much more shall we? I don't know what word, much more blatant type of attack as opposed to a much more patient type of approach that some teams have. So, you know, but that's what I like. And as I said, I love the aerial game. I love a beautiful long ball into space. I love a beautiful long ball into the space occupied right in front of a post-up type of player who then plays it on and drops it off or holds the ball up. I can appreciate all of that. So that's the type of stuff that I like to play. Do I like to see and watch a team bunker and park the bus for an entire game? I don't like to see it, but I recognize the beauty within that, even though it's harder to see at times.
No, I understand, and you've been in teams that have won like that, and that could be the greatest day of your life, you know. Same with me, but I'm at a different phase now. Speaking of evolution, I want to see something that entertains me. That doesn't entertain me anymore, and I also think it. For me, it's a little bit of the easy way out, and I understand certain teams have players, and this is the way you have to do it. And potentially, it's the weather in the summer here in the U.S.
Yeah, but you mentioned the most important word you just mentioned is entertainment. We are in the entertainment business, and
absolutely,
the players on the field get paid money. They are the product on the field, and you have customers that come and pay good money to watch it, and you better entertain them because that's what they want, or they won't come back, and they won't buy your product anymore. So you better be playing a style that the most people that want to buy your product are entertained by, and that's what you have to decide. If you're the coach and the technical director in Houston, or whether you're the coach and technical director over in Barcelona, you got to make sure you are giving your customer the product that they want and expect.
Yeah, absolutely. My life is getting shorter by the minute, so I don't want to sit around and watch a team defending deep in their own half. So whenever you see a team defending deep, know that I'm not watching.
There you go. And you're not buying tickets for
it. Okay, so let's move on from this. We're talking with Alexi Lalas, a State of the Union podcast. You're going to catch him in France on the Women's World Cup, which totally stoked about that. That's going to be an interesting World Cup this summer. I want to just take you into expansion of Major League Soccer. And yes, we're all excited. It's incredible, the money, the markets, they're exploding, all kinds of great things happening. And then we get an article in The Athletic that talks about the non-relevant markets and, you know, it's the Chicagos, the Houstons, the New Yorks, the New Englands, the Colorados. And there are real struggles in these markets. And I'm not talking about any on-field products, although that's a part of it too. But I guess we don't want to talk about the dirty laundry too much, do we?
Well, no, we do. But I think there also has to be a recognition that it's real easy from other markets and from outside to tell people how to do their job and how to spend their money. It's also real easy to tell some of the originals, the people that have been there for 20 plus years, the people that were there when things weren't great when it comes to Major League Soccer, that this is what they should be doing, or why aren't they doing better? And look, this is a single entity, and therefore it is about the collective, and you're only as strong as your weakest link, and you're always going to have a weak link. And that it is some of these originals, I think it's at times rich when some of the new clubs, the nouveau riches, come into the league and explode. And it's wonderful. And it's wonderful for them, and it's wonderful for the league, and ultimately it's wonderful for the collective. But then they're going to scream and yell about what the other clubs and the other and some of them that have been around 20 years aren't doing in their market. Now, there are absolutely times where you can call people and take them to task for what they aren't doing or what they are doing that's not working. But as you know, look, this is a labor of love, and this is about pushing that boulder, that soccer boulder, uphill every single day, every single year, regardless of how popular or how exciting or how many expansion teams come in right now. It's a good thing that we have expansion teams right now. I think it's a reflection on the wonderful environment that we were talking about earlier in the U.S. I mean, I'm sitting here watching the Lamar Hunt Open Cup, and I'm watching a team called the Lakeland Tropics and the Villages SC on my television right now. There's so much professional soccer. There's so much soccer to be seen in this country, and trying to get it all. Sometimes it's difficult to put it all into your brain, but it's a wonderful environment, a wonderful climate to be in. And I think a lot of business folks out there recognize that this is something they want to be a part of. And if they're smart, they've obviously bought low and sell high. They look at this in terms of a stock, and they got to be pretty bullish in that this is one that's going to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's why I think you're seeing more and more markets that recognize that this is something that they want from a business perspective and from a community perspective.
Alexi, thank you so much for coming on. As always, it's always a great pleasure. It's good fun talking with you as well. That'll wrap it up tonight. That was Alexi Lalas, and again, we thank you, Alexi.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here tonight for Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza. I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, Soccer Matters podcast at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. Sunday in Austin, Soccer Matters, 12 noon Central Time. Good night, everyone.